Okay. All right, so we are holding on Chaf Hei Amud Aleph at the second line down. Last word on the line. The Gemara is continuing its discussion that Teruma Temeya is prohibited to be burned on Yontif. However, and the Gemara is now focusing on the fact that you are permitted to burn this Teruma, even though it's Tameh, and you must burn it, but it is permitted to get Hana, it is permitted to get pleasure out of this burned, while it's burning. Even though a carbon, you're not allowed to get pleasure from when it's burning, it's Asur B'Hana. Nevertheless, Teruma, as it's burning, you are able to get Hana out of it. So, for example, if a person has oil, that is Teruma, that became Tameh, even though the halakha is you must burn it, but nevertheless, you could use it as cooking fuel, or you could use it as whatever, light, or you know, a lamp, a fuel for your lamp, or something like that. And the same thing with any type of Teruma that becomes Tameh. If a person, let's say, has a pile of wheat that becomes Tameh, and so the halakha is midiyoraisa, you must burn it. It's like, you know, you gotta burn it. However, you're allowed to get Hana'ah from the burning. Chametz, for example, if a person finds chametz on after the sixth hour or on Pesach, if he's burning it, then he's not going to get hana from it. You have to burn it and just, you know, you can't roast marshmallows on the fire. Depending, those people who roast marshmallows over their chametz fire, it's only permitted if you do it before a certain time, before the times that you're burning the fire. Otherwise, you can't do that. You can't get hana from it. However, Teruma, our Gemara is discussing that you could get hana from it, so that's the Gemara's discussion today. But Yom Tov Huda Asr, says the Gemara, two lines down, Chaf Hei Amar Aleph, HaBechol Shaber Dami, but during the week it would be permitted. My time, what is the reasoning for that? Omar Rav, Kishem Shemitzvah Lisraif Kodshim, Shenitmu'u, the same way that it is a mitzvah to burn kachim that became tameh, kach mitzvah lisef as a truma shenitma eis, so too is it a mitzvah to burn truma that became tameh. V'amra Torah, and nevertheless, the Torah says that you're allowed to get hana from it. B'sha'as bi'ura tihane mimena. At the time that you are burning it, you may derive pleasure from it. Says the Gemara, Heichan Amar Torah, so where did the Torah say this? Midr Rav Nachman, the Gemara points it out as Rav Nachman's diik went. The Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Baravu Amar Kar, the Pasuk says, this is the Pasuk, V'ani hine nasadi v'cha es mishmeres tru moisai. I gave to you, Hashem is talking, I gave to you, to Aaron, I gave to you mishmeres, the job to guard, mishmeres tru moisai, my tru mois. And it's plural, tru moisai. Well, what's the plural? It should have said what's the plural of true maisai, which is indicative of two or more, but a minimum of two types of trumas. Says the Gemara, b'shtei trumas hakasim adabra. There are two types of trumas that Aaron has the rights to. Echas trumas tahira, truma tahira, va'achas truma temeya. One which is truma tahira, one which is truma temeya. And the Gemara says, the Torah says, va'amarachmana, licha, ahine nasati licha, I gave it to you. Both of these trumas that you have to guard are yours, meaning you can derive pleasure from both of them. You get truma when it's tar, and you get truma when it's tame. What does it mean, you get it? It means you can get hana from it. That you can use it to burn under your food. You could use it as fuel, and you can get hana from it, you can get warmth from it. It just got to be burned. That's one pasuk. The second alternative is midi Rabbi Avohu, as it says from Rabbi Avohu, da Amr Rabbi Avohu, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, v'lo bi'artu mimenu betame. The pasuk states, v'lo bi'artu mimenu betame. We're holding exactly halfway down Chaf Hei Amar Aleph. The Gemara is finding a source for the fact that you're allowed to use Truma Tehira, Truma Temeya. V'lo bi'artu mimenu betame. I did not burn it when I was tame. This is part of the vidui that you say by Truma, by my miser, when you go ahead And when a person brings his miser to Yerushalayim, this is his bikurim, sorry, to Yerushalayim, this is one of the things that he says. He talks about his miser. This is part of the vidui that you say on miser. Vidui is just, doesn't mean vidui, but I did not go ahead and burn it when it was tame and get hana from it. We can be medayik that it, miser, is prohibited to get hana from when it is tame. Mimenu i'atamaver. However, aval atamaver shemen shel truma shen tameis. But you are allowed to get hana from truma if it ever became tame. Ve'ema mimenu i'atamaver aval atamaver shemen shel. So the Gemara says over here, I don't really see anything specific to truma. I see a pasuk by Meiser that says that Meiser I'm not allowed to. So you can be medayik something else you could. So what points you to say that truma is the thing you could? Maybe kachim is the thing you could. I'm saying, you're right. I'm not going to say maybe birthday candles or something like that, because there has to be a havamina. But who says it's truma? Who? Maybe it's kachim. What makes you say that? Because there's really nothing. See, Bishlam, the first pasuk, was talking about truma. And it says that truma is... Bishlam, the first pasuk, it's talking about truma, but the second pasuk is talking about meiser, and it just says meiser, yes, something else, no. So how do you know it's truma? Ve'ema mimenu atamaver, from meiser you can't do it, but you could do kachim. Aval atamaver shemesh al kodesh nitma. So the Gemara says, lav kal v'chaymer, kachim is the kal v'chaymer. Ma meiser hakal, meiser, which is so lenient, more lenient than kachim. Nevertheless, the Torah says, Amra Torah v'lo bi'ar to mimenu b'tameh, that you are not allowed to burn it when it is tameh. So kodesh, which is so chamer, which is so... the Gemara is going to explain soon what the kalos and the chamuras are. Kodesh, which is chamer, like kol shekein, certainly that if it becomes tameh, you should not be allowed to get hana from it at the time that you burn it. The Gemara says, well, if that's your kal v'chomer, then don't you think that kal v'chomer exists by truma also? I mean, Yehachi says the Gemara, truma nami. Let us say that there's this kal v'chomer that exists. Because if Meiser, which is so kal, and again, the Gemara will discuss soon what the kalos is, but we could tell you that Meiser is mutter to a regular person. If I'm allowed to eat Meiser Sheni, and a Kohen is the only one who's allowed to eat Truma. So, if Meiser, which is so kal, nevertheless, you cannot get hana when you're burning it because it's tameh. So Truma, which is more chamer, then certainly should have this rule. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's what the pasuk comes to tell you. The pasuk Gufa tells you that. It's only us that by Meiser, not by Truma. Haksiv mimenu. It states the pasuk mimenu. The Gemara says, ro'isa. So we're back to our kasha then. So you have one pasuk which tells me, we have a svara which tells me that, in other words, the Gemara before wasn't saying truma over kachim, and kachim over truma. The Gemara was saying maybe it should be for both. To that the Gemara says, no. You have a kal v'chomer that tells me that if Meiser is usher, then certainly truma and kachim is usher. So then the Gemara is like, okay, so if the kal v'chomer applies to kachim, it should apply to truma also. Elamai, you have a pasuk that tells me that no, it's only Meiser, not truma. So then, how do you know that pasuk applies to truma and not Meiser? So that's what the Gemara means, umara isa. What makes you apply, which is really the question how we started off. The Gemara is just backpedaling now. And okay, so going back to the question. So why are you applying that question to truma and not to Meiser? Well, to truma and not to kachem, I mean.
According to Rabbi Avahu's second...
Correct.
Right?
Yes. Right.
Is there any... You could ask the question, why do we need that? Do we have a Nachman's
pasuk?
Which was pretty clear. You know, there's two trumos it's talking about, and...
I mean, this is a second source. So,
was there a question on Rav Nachman's pasuk that you needed a second source?
He did not bring a question. Nor will we go back and forth, if I remember correctly, to explain what you need anything for. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, usually, you know, it
depends. I mean,
what does he use that for?
Right. Sometimes we will do that.
What does he need? How does he explain Trumos?
Yeah, a lot of times when the Gemara brings down two sources, it doesn't flip back and forth. Like, just for example, the end of yesterday also, the Gemara brought four different psukim to show why it's that ain surf and kudsh and biyantif. So the last two is actually a machlekas because if there's an essay or a lois essay, so that's more of like a machlekas whether or not there's a biyantif is an essay and a lois essay, but the rest of them, the rest of the psukim over there, it didn't go back and forth. I'm not answering your question. I'm saying I don't know. There happens to be that Tesis over here asks a question that we use these Shtei Trumos elsewhere. We use these Shtei Trumos, one for Truma Tahira and one for Truma Teluya. So he asks, how could we use the Shtei Trumos over here for Truma Tahira and Truma Sreifa? So he says that they're going on two different parts of the Pasuk. One of them is going on the parts of the Pasuk that says that you need Shimor. So for those, Shtei Trumos means that. And one of them is going on the burning. So it's not shver, one of the fact that you can get hanah from it. So the fact that you can get hanah, there's two different words in the pasuk, and both of them have to focus on the fact that it's referring to a plural. Maybe he didn't like that, but that's hard to say. I'm saying, like, Tosis asks a question, and one mandamer likes the answer, one doesn't. It's hard to, you know.
All right. That's okay.
But it is a valid point. You are bringing down a valid point. I'm not answering it. I don't know. I hear it's a valid point. So, all right. So, Ms. Tavra says the Gemara. Now the Gemara is questioning again. The outline of what's happening over here right now is that we're looking for a source that it's permitted to get hana from Turuma as you're burning it, even though kachim you can't, and maisa you can't, and chametz you can't. Nevertheless, truma is different. You says you could. Why? The diik is because it says by meiser. Mimenu, you can't get hana. It's mashma something else you could. The Gemara is now questioning, so why do we apply that mimenu to truma and not to kachim? That's the question of Ma'ara Isa. So the Gemara says, because as we just mentioned, there's only room for one room in the pasuk. So, mistavra koidish lo mima'aytenu. Probably, says the Gemara, we're not going to be mimayet koidish. Because shekain simen pancakes. What's the simen of pancakes? The pay stands for piggle. These are one of the ones that I remember. There's certain ones that, you know, like somebody will ask, like, as a trivia question, where does it say, what is a simon of pancakes? One of these things is, you know, one of these things that sticks in your head. So there's a couple ones that, like, you know, are famous. So the reason why kudshim is more important than truma is because it has these six chumras, the six chumras known as pancakes. The first one is pay, it's for piggle, that the whole concept of piggle exists by kachim, but does not exist by truma. If a person thinks by when doing the process of kachim, he shechts the carpet in order to eat it by his neighbor's bar mitzvah next week, which is obviously going to be done in quarantine, so then he's going to have to, go ahead and he would get kares. That doesn't exist by truma. There's the concept of nun, is noisar. Noisar is that if you leave it over time, it turns into an isur d'oraisa to eat. There's no such thing by truma. I mean, it might become stale and then inedible, but there's no like time limit that you have to eat it in. The next one is korban, that it's got to be brought specifically in the Beis HaMikdash. The next one is ayin, stands for mi'ila. You take away just because otherwise it would be pan. And then makes, it wouldn't be as good. So they switched it to an ayin, mi'ila, which is that if a person derives benefit from when he's not permitted, he is chayv and isur d'oraisa of mi'ila. There's no special, it's also to have truma if it's not yours, but you're not over the isur of mi'ila. The next one is kares. If he eats it incorrectly, he gets kares, whereas truma, you only get misa. And v'asur lo'oinein, the last one is the samach for asur, lo'oinein, and oinein cannot eat it. So therefore, those are the six reasons why kachim is more chamer than truma. He uses this other places as well. And so therefore, those are the six reasons. So therefore, that's why when having a random pasuk which says that there's going to be a leniency, which the leniency is that you're allowed to eat it during, you're allowed to get hanah from it during the burning, that we don't know which one it applies to, we're going to apply it to the more lenient one, which is truma. Why is it more lenient? Because pancakes, six reasons why kachim is more chamer than truma. Says the Gemara, there are some leniency, there are some chumras that exist by truma that don't exist by kachim. And that's known as machpaz. Adrabba, says the Gemara, truma loy mima ayatena. Let's not knock out truma. Because shekain machpaz simen. What is that? That's if a person eats it, he gets misa b'dei shemayim, which incidentally it's true, it is a chumra. But the Gemara is going to respond. One of the chumras of pancakes is that you get kares, which is more. So you're right. There are aspects of misa that are chumra, but overall kares is more chumra. So one of the Gemara's answers is going to be that kares beats misa anyway. So of your machpazes, pancakes, I've already had one that beat that. Next one is chomish. If a non-Kohen goes ahead and eats it, he's required to reimburse the Kohen, not only in what he ate, but he must add on an extra fifth. Next one is ein la pidyon, machpaz is pays, that there's no way you could redeem it at all. You cannot redeem truma. Incidentally, by the way, what you could do with truma is you could annul it using hataras nedarim. We once had a gishmaka case where, because it's a neder, I want this to be truma, I want this to be challah. A lady once had she was baking challah, and the challah, she put it to the side, and somehow during the kneading, it fell back in to the mixture. Now, challah is not batel, except if it's 1 in 100. There's no way it was 1 in 100, so it's a problem. If it was an Eretz Yisrael, it would be much worse. It would be chiv misa. So over here, it's not chiv misa, but lemaisa. So we gave the Eitzah, and I think it's a Pashat Eitzah, that just do hataras nadarim on that piece of challah, and then take off challah again. Va'asur l'zorim, and it is prohibited to zorim. By kachim, it's not prohibited to zarim. I could eat, a zar, meaning a non-kohen, could eat certain types of kachim. I could eat the tamid, not a tamid, a carbon toida. I could eat the shlomim, I could eat a pesach. So there are certain karbanas that I could eat. So we see that truma has four qualities that are more chamer than kachim. And the Gemara answer is, okay, but you said this one has six. So six beats four.
Unless you're playing golf. By the way, does it mean something at the korban? Can you take it back?
You could, but I mean, it's a machlokes beisham and beisil in nazar or nadarim. But either or, the Gemara is talking about pidyon, not hataras nadarim. But yeah, the whether or not you could do hataras nadarim on kachim is a machlokes beisham and beisil towards the beginning of nadarim or nazar. If I remember correctly, I might be totally wrong, but I think so. Hanach Levishan, says the Gemara, six beats four, and therefore truma kachim is more chamer than truma overall. There are six qualities over here that are more chamer, six beats four, and therefore, when having a random new halacha, we're going to apply it to kachim, a new leniency, we're going to apply it to truma over kachim. Says the Gemara, v'ibayus eim alternate. I'll tell you that kodesh is chamer, shekain onish kares. Part of pancakes was kares, and part of machpaz was misa b'dei shemayim. Well, kares generally is more chamer than misa b'dei shemayim. Okay, a third makar, and again, like Dr. Aronson pointed out, why do we need three makars? I'm not sure. What does each of these manda amram do with the other ones? I'm not sure. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, the pasuk says, titein loy, you shall give. It says, this is a pasuk which discusses giving the truma. It says, you should give your truma, titein loy, you shall give it to the kohen. That word loy, the chachamim darshan, that loy, it's got to be That the word loy has to be, tells us that when giving the truma, you have to give it that he, the Kohen, should be able to use it entirely. Loy, give it to him, that he should eat it. V'loy lo'ayray, don't give it to him, that the only thing he could do with it is use it for its light. Mechla, we can infer, debas ayrehu. That pasuk is telling you that when giving truma, you must give tahar truma. Give it to him in a fashion that he'll be able to eat it. Don't give it to him in a fashion that the only thing he'll be able to do with it is use it for its fuel source or a light. But we can infer, in other words, don't give it to him in a tame sense. But we can infer that if you did give it to him in a tame sense, it would be permitted to give to him in for its fuel or for its light. Now, you may be wondering, so hold on. All it said in the pasuk was loy. What do we darshan from the word loy? You must give it to him that he could be able to use it. Give it to him that he should be able to use it. And we are adding in, and don't give it to him that the only thing you could do is use it for fuel. In other words, give it to him in tahar sense, not in tummy sense. Maybe I'll read it. Give it to him that he could use it, and don't give it to him in tummy sense that he can't use it. Where does it say v'loy lo'ayray? Even as I'm saying over the var, the words don't come out of my mouth. What's the source? The source of the pasuk is because it says in the pasuk v'loy. It says give it to him that he could use it. So maybe it means give it to him that he could use it.
Maybe he could use it as fuel for his fire. If you hold it, you could burn tummy.
No, so loy means give it to him.
To eat his house.
No, so that I do understand. The fact that it says loy means give it to him that he personally can use it and ingest it. That's what loy means. But we're dashing it, give it to him that he personally can ingest it, so give it to him in a tahar sense, and not, so just finish the sentence, and not give it to him in a tamay sense that he can't use it. But not, and not give it to him in a tamay sense that the only thing he can use it is for his fire. I mean, where do you see that? So, I see Taisa asks the question. Taisa says, because if the opposite thing was that you have to give it to him and not in a manner that he can only use it halfway, then it should have just said give it to him, give it to him. Because you can't give me something that I can't use. That's not called giving me something. If the only thing I could do with it is I'm required to burn it, that's not called giving it to me. So if it meant to say give it to me and that I should use it and not have to burn it, then it didn't need that extra word loy. So please ask the question. And he explains it like that. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, "My time. What it, Rabbi Shmuel says that you're not allowed to use this tar itron. You're not allowed to use this tar. Like we spoke out, it's actually not real tar. It's the liquid that comes out of this tar. This clear liquid that comes out of the tar. It's the psoilus of the tar. You're not allowed to do it." Says Rabbi Shmuel, you're not allowed to light with this tar on Shabbos, for Shabbos. My time, why not? Because it's such a bad smell. Shema, it's going to be such a bad smell, you're going to want to leave the table. And you'll leave. It's going to be so, you're not going to want to stay at the table. Within 5 seconds, you'll have to be excused. So leave. Go eat in the kitchen. Amar lei, so they said to Abaya, She'ani Omer, I say, Hadlakas near B'Shabbos Chayva. No, we want you to eat in a place that has light. We want you to enjoy your meal. We want you to, and Hadlakas near on Shabbos is a chayv, is a chiyuv. Damar of Nachman bar Zavda, V'amilo Amar of Nachman bar Rava, Amar Rav, Hadlakas near B'Shabbos is a chayva. To light your neiros on Shabbos and to have a bright suda is a requirement. You must set up candles on Shabbos so that you should have them by your Suda. And Rechitzas Yedayim Reglayim Bechamen, and washing your hands and feet in hot water, Arvis, on Erev Shabbos, is a Rishus. That's a permissible activity. V'ani Yomer, and Rav Nachman finished off the sentence that it's a mitzvah. So there's three levels. There is Rishus, a permissible activity. There's a mitzvah, a very good thing. And then there is a Chayva, a requirement. Taisus discusses the three levels. He discusses like there are different things around Shas that say chayva and like we say mitzvah. What exactly is the right. So, my mitzvah. Why is it? What's this? What's the mitzvah of washing on Erev Shabbos? The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kachayim and Hagish of Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. This was the minhag of Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. Erev Shabbos, Mevi'in Loi Areva, Meleya Chaman. On Erev Shabbos, they would bring him a bucket full of water, a bowl full of water. Berechitz Panav Yotav Araglav. He would go ahead and wash his hands and feet, umis atef, and get dressed with his towels, wrap himself up. The yeshiv bitzadinim hametsuyotzim, and he would sit there in his sadin, in his clothes, hametsuyotzim, that got tzitzis on it. But doima, and he was looked like la malach Hashem tzavakas. He looked like Hashem. He looked like a malach. While you talmidim mechavim mimenu kanfei ksusan, and his talmidim were sitting around him, covered the ends of their cloaks, and because they did not have tzitzis on it. Amar lehen b'ni, he asked them, my children, loy kach shanisi lachem, did I not teach you that sadin b'tzitzis b'shamei poitim b'sil machayoven, that sadin, linen garments, b'sil, b'shamei says they're pater from tzitzis, and b'sil says they're chayev. Alach k'diver b'sil. The reason why Rebbe, the Beis Shammai, patterned you linen garments was because they held that tzitzis, and tzitzis really have to be made out of wool, because the tchelis ones have to be made out of wool. Back in the day, they had tchelis. I mean, they may have tchelis nowadays also, but back in the day, they had tchelis, and the halacha was that you were allowed to put this wool string on your linen garments, even though it was shatnez. Why? Because of the concept of asid echaloiz. I say this is a gemara in Yevamos, and there's also they were smuchin next to each other. Tzitzis was right next to shatnez. This is a sugi in Yevamos. Beis Shammai didn't hold of it. Beis Shammai held that you were not allowed to wear on a linen garment, you were not allowed to wear tzitzis. Beis Hillel held that you do. So he saw his students wearing linen garments, and they were hiding the ends of their garments from him, and he understood that they did not have tzitzis on it. And they realized that he paskin that you should have tzitzis, so they were hiding it from him. So he's like, why are you doing that? Beis Hillel holds that you have to have tzitzis on it. So the answer is, Inhu Savri, they held that, of course, if it was regular linen garments, we would put it on. But Gzeira Mishum Ksus Laila, the students that prohibited it, they held that it's true that the halacha is like Beis Hillel and your Chayav Midiyoraisa. However, the Rabbanan made a Gzeira that you were not allowed to put. It's true that if you wore the linen garment during the day, you would have to put on tzitzis. But since if you were to wear that linen garment by night, it would be, you were not chayv in tzitzis. And then if you wear it, you'd be over the isur d'oraisa of shatnez. Therefore, it's better not to put on tzitzis at all, so as not to come to chas v'shalom and violate shatnez. Here is the sugya, a massive chiddush, that the Rabbanim have the rights to go ahead and be mevatel and iser in the Torah. This is one of the few examples that Rabbanim went ahead and were mevatel and iser in the Torah. Another one is Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. They were mevatel the iser, the mitzvah, the oraisa of blowing a shofar. They said, don't do it in case you might come to carry. I was speaking of your text last week, of your email, Dr. Aronson, with Moshe Rabbeinu telling the people to go ahead and stay inside. I was thinking that first year when Rabbah said, don't blow the shofar, how many people went to their basements and blew the shofar? You know? Yeah, what does Rabbah know? So over here also, one of the examples of where the Rabbanim asered, whether Rabbanim knocked off a mitzvah d'oraisa, is they said that if you wear linen garments, you do not have to put on tzitzis. You should not put on tzitzis. Why not? Ayur chayim d'oraisa. A gezerah, because if you leave it on after shkia, you're going to be wearing tzitzis by night, which, the way we wear it, it's not a big deal. It's wool garment and wool tzitzis, so you wear whatever you want. You can wear as many strings as you want. But if it was wool and linen, then you'd be violating an issur d'oraisa. And therefore, they agreed, of course the halacha is like Beis Hillel, but there's a new halacha afterwards, there's a gezerah afterwards that you shouldn't do it. And that's the Gemara. The Gemara pointed out, again, how did we get here? The Gemara said that the reason why you're not allowed to light with itron is because it smells so bad you might leave your table. And so the Gemara says, so leave. The Gemara says, no, the whole point is that you should have Shabbos candles by the table because it's a mitzvah to have light by your table. The Gemara says, it's a requirement, it's a chayva. The Gemara says, and in bringing that down, the Gemara says, it's also a nice thing to take a shower on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says, how do we know that from? From the story of Rabbi Huda Bar Iloi, who used to take a shower. And in bringing down that story, the Gemara, by the way, spoke out that he wore tzitzis in his linen garments and his students didn't. Okay. The Gemara says, the reason why we're bringing down this following thing is because it mentions Hadlakas Ner, and then it's going to go off on a bit of a tangent. But Tiznach Mishalom Nafshi Nashisi Toiva, this is a pasuk in Eicha that it's saying that the peace has left me, and I have forgotten Nashisi Toiva, I have forgotten goodness. What is that? What is v'tiznach my v'tiznach mishalom nafshi? What does it mean that peace has left me? Amar Rabbi Avohu, what does it mean peace has left me? It means zuhad lakas ner b'shabbos. That at the time of the Chorban, Chazal, Klai Yisrael is bemoaning the fact that they can no longer light Shabbos candles. And when there's no light, there's no shalom, there's no peace. Why is there no peace? Like we spoke out yesterday, because when you're walking in the dark, just this morning it happened. I was walking in the dark, and I kicked one of my kids' toys, and it made this clattering sound. Woke up half the house. So why? Because it's dark, and you walk in the dark, you bang your toe, you bang toys, and you ruin the shalom bayis. The toy clattering down the stairs wasn't what made the whole noise. There was the afterwards that made the noise. No, I'm joking. Nashisi Toiva is the next words in the pasuk. Our Nashisi Toiva means that I forgot goodness. Again, this is talking about after the Churban Abayas. What does it mean you forgot goodness? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, goodness in this case is Zuber Samerchatz. After the Churban, we no longer were able to take showers. So I forgot the goodness of what it was like to be able to live normally. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Zu Rechitzas Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Chamen. This is the process of washing hands and feet with hot water. Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha Amar, Zu Mita No'eh V'Kelim No'im Shem Sha'aleha. What was missing was that from the time of the Chorban was a nice bed and nice bed sheets. Rabbi Abba Amar, Zu Mita Mitzu'as V'Isha Mikushetes L'Talmid Chachamim. This is a bed that's made and an isha who is mikushetes. Now mikushetes over here. Mikushetes over here could mean one of two things. Either it means, I'm just looking for. Just looking for anybody on the page. One second. One second. Okay. Okay, so either it means mikushetas, either means, tell me how art school explains it, but mikushetas either means that she has good midos, and mikushetas, she is adorned with good midos. What does art school say?
Exactly that.
Yeah, and they quote anybody?
Rashba.
Yeah, okay, that is the Rashba's explanation. Did they say any other pshat? Okay.
Says Rashba as well.
Rashba.
You should not
be ma'asim. Yeah, if I remember correctly, that's the lashon of the Rashba.
You bring down that others understand this is related to, for Friday night.
Right. That's the parshat pshat. The parshat pshat. Mikushetas means she's adorned and she is and she beautifies herself and readies herself for the act of intimacy, the act of getting of being together, and she gets involved in the ma'isa. She gets dressed up for the ma'isa. So part of this is parshat pshat in the Gemara. The Rashba is not the parshat pshat. But the pasuk pshat is mishkushetas. That she's it sort of means a mita mitzvahs. In other words, what does it mean? Good means this person has a wife who is involved and enjoys the ma'isa with him, and therefore it's something that's he doesn't have to he has that requirement that men have. He has it set up for him. So it's mikushetas, meaning she dresses herself up for it. She's involved. Again, this is part of the chasen shmuz that we say. It's an amazing thing. Mikushetas, you should get involved. She should get involved. You should get involved. And this is a good thing. So who do they quote that from? That's just pasuk pshat.
Others understand this to mean.
Yeah. Right. Right, others is everybody else.
Tachmas Manoach, they bring it down from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Masifta is not going to bring this down because Masifta is Hasidish and they don't go with these Maharam Siris. They don't go with this. There's Art Scroll, I'm only surprised to bring it down because they are usually so, available for the public and they're always nervous what people will see and say over. So. That's why I don't think Arsk was there. But the Pashup Shat is like this. That's the Pashup Shat. But yes, it is Pashup to me that Masifta is not going to bring it down.
Arsk brings it down as the second one.
Right, exactly. Okay.
Read that far.
Right. Tanu Rabanan. There's one line actually in Brachas that Oiz V'Hadar in the back takes out a pshat. They delete the pshat without a similar Gemara to this, and they just take out the line. Not in the Gemara, in one of the Mefarshim in the back. Pella Atzuma. Okay, Tanra. I'm telling it's a Pella Atzuma that they take it out. That's what I mean. Tanra Rabbanan, Ezehu Asher, who is a rich person? Kol sheyesh le'nachas ruach ba'asher, whoever has enjoyment from his money. Bikitzer. As a Mishnah already, he's Samech Bechalkei. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Simin Matkas. So, if you're happy with how much you have, be it a lot, be it a little, then you're rich. If you're not happy with what you have, then you're not rich. Similar as a famous Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon, this is a Braisa in different words, but it's the same idea. Rabbi Tarfon, if a person has 100 vineyards and 100 fields and 100 servants, he works, that works them. Now, this obviously cannot mean push up shot because what's he saying? Like, you ask a 4-year-old, like, what's rich? Like, you have 100 fields and 100. I mean, so what's going on over here? There is one mahalach that says that he means different types of gemaras and things like that. He has 100. He has 100 this and 100 that, but everybody says different pshatim over here. Exactly what it means. It's like who do they bring down over there? Maral or an art scroll?
Arsha.
It's in the Marshal. There's a Marshal, there's a Goyin, there's a Ben Yayada, there's a, I'm saying it. What does the Marshal say? What does the article say? What does the Marshal say?
Employed an exaggeration to teach that there's no end to the wealth that a man can desire to acquire.
Yeah.
A person will never be satisfied until he attained an honorable status of a wealthy man.
Yeah, so that's the Marshal is saying that he's taka answering that. Yeah, what's a rich man? He's like, well, you have $1 billion. He's like, you know, he's, you know, say, so that's where the Marshal understands it. Okay, the Goyin, other people understand that it means different things in Torah and things like that. So, okay, Rabbi Kiva Omer Kol Sheyesh Lo Isha No'e B'Maisim, somebody who has a wife who is good. This is if a person has a happy home, then he is wealthy. This is a very important Gemara, very very important Gemara, because a person can have money and things like that, but lamaisa, his family life is not normal, then he is not satisfied. Not satisfied. He can't live it. He can't enjoy it. And important Gemara. And the final one is Rabbi Yosi Amar Kol Sheyesh Lo Beis HaKiseh Samech L'Shulchanai, whoever has a bathroom next to his table.
And there's a note here, something Pani wrote, that this is all kind of reflecting your own experiences, that Rabbi Tarfon was very wealthy, so he quantified his wealth. Rabbi Akiva, of course, his wife, Rachel, was responsible for his greatness. And Rabbi Yosi, he had
intestinal
disease.
So
for him, having a bathroom close at hand was very valuable.
Yeah, interesting.
So this is all kind of their own
experiences. That's funny. That's interesting to note. You're right. All those Gemaras do exist about those people. Rabbi Kiva famously had his wife. Rabbi Tarfon was an interesting Gemara. Who makes that
yuk?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. This one with the Isha Yafa B'Maisim is who is Yafa B'Maisim? I'm trying to remember. I had something to say about it, but I forgot. Okay, and okay, that's that. And the Rabbi Yosi says if you have a Beis HaKiseh that's next to your Shulchan, meaning you have your, you don't always have to. Back in the day, Beis HaKiseh was an important part of life. I had to walk out miles, you know. It wasn't easy to go. Life was not as easy as it was nowadays.
It's hard to imagine back when going to the bathroom at night meant you know, candle and shoes.
Exactly, and walk in freezing cold, walking out, never know meeting your neighbor there or meeting a fox. I'm saying it wasn't.
I have friends from the former Soviet Union who say like sometimes there, like you have to actually go walking out because you didn't always have.
Right. Yeah.
It's hard to imagine for us today.
Mm-hmm. So that's what he said. Somebody who has those type of needs taken care of. Okay. All right. And finally, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Amar Ein Madlikin Betzori. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to use. Tzari, which we described, was a certain type of sap from the tree. My taima amar rabba mepnei shereichai noidef, because it gzeira shem yistapik mimenu. Since lamaisa, it gives off a smell. It gives off a smell. So therefore, there's a gzeira that you may go ahead and yistapik mimenu. You may go ahead and take some oil out of the candle in order to use it. In order to use the oil, put some of the oil on you, I guess. And that would be an Isra D'Raisa of Mechaba. Omar Le'abaye, Le'ma Marma P'nei Shehu Off. Why don't you say because it's flammable? Yigmar says, Chadaba Oid Kamar. Chadaba P'nei Shehu Off. One of the reasons is because it is flammable. Va'oid Gzeira Shem Yistapik Menu, a Gzeira that maybe you will go ahead and get hana from it. Let's just finish off to the two dots, because it's the same Gemara. Hahi chamasa, there was a certain mother-in-law, Dahavi Sinila Lekalasa, who hated her daughter-in-law. So Amarle Zil Ikshit b'mishchada afarisima. Go ahead and cover yourself in. You know what my son really likes? My son really likes the smell of afarisima, of this type of oil. So go and I'll give you a secret. Cover yourself in afarisima. And she goes ahead. She covers herself in afarisima, and then the mother-in-law tells her, Azla Ikshit. She went, she covered herself in afarisima. Ki Azos, then she came back to her mother-in-law, Amarla, she told her, Zil, go in Itli Sharga, go light some candles for him. Azla Itli Sharga, she went, she lit some candles, and Infach Banura, and she got caught on fire, Va'achalta, and it ate her up. And that was the mother-in-law's plan for killing her daughter-in-law. Anyways, so that's how flammable it was. So a great way to end the day, to end the daf. All right, we'll stop over here. Okay, have a great one.
Thank you.
What are you talking about? Oh.